cover all the airports, including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Miliano. President Bush made it pretty clear last year he wanted the special prosecutor to get to the bottom of the White House leak that outed a CIA operative, the wife of a former ambassador.
I have instructed every member of my staff to fully cooperate in this investigation.
Now court documents reveal the Oval Office itself may have put the leak into play.
The special prosecutor says former Vice Presidential Chief of Staff Louis Libby has told prosecutors that the president, through the vice president, authorized Libby to leak intel information on Iraq. The White House has issued its standard response on stories like this. No comment on an ongoing legal investigation.
CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer says the allegation is the leak of Iraq war intelligence was designed to put a positive spin on the run-up to the war, as a former ambassador came out critical of Iraq war policy. The prosecution in the Zacharias Moussaoui death penalty trial is determined to get the jury to go for death. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato with testimony in the trial of the 9/11 conspirator.
Crying on the stand, Tamar Rossbrook described looking out her hotel room window and seeing objects falling down the side of a flaming World Trade Center tower. I started screaming. Those are people, she said, leaping one at a time at first and then more organized. Sometimes they would jump in groups of two, sometimes in groups of three, she told jurors. They were aiming for a canopy far below. A picture was shown. Holes in the canopy. Body parts below it. As Rossbrook escaped her hotel, she says she heard chirps all around. Audio fireflies, she called them. They were alarms on firefighters' helmets set to go off when the bodies didn't move. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
At first blush, it sounded like the Capitol Hill stalemate over immigration reform had been broken. But CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss says not so fast.
The great breakthrough on immigration claimed by Senate Republican leader Bill Frist landed with a big thud in the House. Colorado Republican Tom Tancredo says giving legal status to illegal immigrants here 5 years or longer is a disaster.
If you've broken the law, and if you've done it for long enough, you'll get amnesty.
He says House Republicans won't go along.
There are enough Republicans in the House, I think, to reject this, even with the president's pressure.
But that could change. House leaders are already hinting they may be willing to move from their get-tough position on illegal immigrants to give President Bush the kind of bill he wants. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Started with a horse and hundreds of yelling kids waving gold wands with streamers at a private school in Sacramento. The horse was spooked. Rushed into the crowd, six kids, three adults suffered moderate to minor injuries. Stocks closed mixed today on inflation concerns and another surge in oil prices. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished with a loss of 23. The Nasdaq, on the other hand, gained a point and a half. Analysts say concerned about what the Labor Department will report tomorrow about jobs during March had investors concerned. The other big factor was just under $68 a barrel, the price of oil. This is CBS News.
Get the good stuff.
Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Gunk Engine Bright or Foamy Engine Bright for just 49 cents after a $1.50 mail-in rebate. It's the best way to remove grease and grime from auto, lawnmower, marine, and tractor engines. Whether you're detailing your engine or just cleaning it up, Gunk Engine Bright will get the job done. So come to Napa and get Gunk Engine Bright or Foamy Engine Bright for just 49 cents after mail-in rebate. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Where do you want to be?
I'd like a real estate website where I can look at all the listings, not just those of a single company.
I'll know the right house when I see it, but it's frustrating having to go from website to website. I'm wearing out my mouse.
Find your perfect place. It's easy at REMAX.com. Now REMAX.com has more home listings to choose from than ever. REMAX listings and our competitors' listings, too. Nobody sells more real estate than REMAX. Each office independently owned and operated.
Was it Judas' idea or Jesus? CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein says a newly released ancient text says history's got it wrong.
The crumbling manuscript dates back to the 3rd or 4th century, and it contains a new twist on the end of Jesus' life.
According to this new text, Jesus spoke with Judas in private, and in private said to him, "You will exceed all of them, for you will sacrifice the man that clothes me."
New Testament scholar Craig Evans spoke at a National Geographic news conference.
Judas only did what Jesus earlier had instructed him to do.
That would make Judas a hero acting on God's behalf, but some scholars say it's not necessarily the way it really happened. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
We have a shoe drop today. Meredith Vieira of The View and a former 60 Minutes correspondent says she'll sit beside Matt Lauer on the Today Show couch. Katie Couric announced yesterday she's going to CBS to anchor the evening news. I'm Lou Maligano, CBS News.
Celebrate a new season of baseball with Grand Slam Instant Savings this Friday and Saturday at CompUSA. Get instant savings with no rebate hassles on select HD TVs, cameras, wireless networking hardware, laptops, and more. Like a Sony Vaio laptop with Intel Centrino technology for under $900, a $200 instant savings. Knock it out of the park with Grand Slam Instant Savings this Friday and Saturday only at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. Quantities limited, see store for details.
It's going on now at Radio Shack.
The ultimate clearance sale.
Your best chance to save like never before.
Just look for the yellow tags and find some of our lowest prices ever.
Save on great name brands like Sony, Panasonic, and Motorola.
HP, Samsung, and Philips.
From digital cameras and camcorders to toys and home entertainment.
Lots of iPod accessories too.
Hurry in now. The best selection won't last long.
The ultimate clearance sale. Now at Radio Shack.
Don't miss it.
Items limited to in-store stock while supplies last. Some merchandise not available in all stores. Prior markdowns may have been taken.
Say 5:40 a.m. and in Eureka, KGOE, 1480 a.m. coast to coast and around the world at KRXA540.com. I am your friendly citizen blogger, Brad Friedman, sitting in today for Peter B., who I don't know where the hell he is. He's off all week. He will be back next week, I understand. He is your humble host. I am your humble guest host. As I say, your friendly citizen investigative blogger from bradblog.com, going to be with you for the next 3 hours. We're down here in Los Angeles, in liberal Hollywood. That's right. And we are going to be speaking to some of those liberal Hollywoodians a little bit later, including Ed Asner, the great, the legendary Ed Asner is going to be with us later on today. That's right. Lou Grant himself. We've got a huge show other than Ed. We also have the great as well, Tom Tomorrow from This Modern World. I know there's a lot of fans out there of This Modern World. Tom Tomorrow is going to be with us taking your calls for an entire hour a little bit later on. Who else we got on this huge show? Faz Shakir is going to be joining us this hour from the Center for American Progress to talk about the latest in the White House. It turns out the president himself, and I put those words in quotes, the president himself may have authorized the leaks of, all kinds of stuff. National intelligence estimates, Valerie Plame's identity. A White House, for the first time in history, has outed a covert CIA agent. We're going to talk to Faz Shakir about that. And also coming up later, we're going to speak with Bruce Funk. And those folks who don't know who Bruce Funk is, I'll give you a quick idea. He is the county clerk in Emery County, Utah, and he is also one of the newest
election heroes in this country. He allowed some folks to come in and inspect the Diebold touchscreen machines, the TSX machines that are coming into Utah this year and to a polling place near you, very likely. And he had the temerity, Bruce Funk did, to let independent inspectors come in and take a look at these machines. We will hear about what he found, and we will hear about what the state of Utah has done to him since then. He is, I should add, an elected official. And Tuesday, I believe, he went to work and his doors were locked. He's not welcome back. We're going to find out about that. He's one of a growing list of heroes around the country who are standing up for electoral integrity. And folks who know Bradblog know that I'm pretty big on this electoral integrity thing. We're going to pound on that quite a bit today because, well, everyone else in the world is talking about everything else. And one of the things we like to say over at the Bradblog is we've got your news agenda right here. That's right. We don't take our news agenda from Tom DeLay, from Dick Cheney, from George Bush, from Fox News. Certainly not from Fox News. Certainly not from Wolf Blitzer over at CNN or Chris Matthews on MSNBC. We figure out what's important, and we talk about it. We report on it, and that's exactly what we're going to do here today. I don't care what the hell everyone else is talking about. See, what's important? One of those things that's important is our electoral system, because as we're heading into these all of that Bush-Cheney stuff, and I know that, Ed Schultz has been talking about it all day, or Jay Marvin, who was sitting in for him. Tom Hartman was talking about it this morning. What they haven't talked about is our electoral democracy being gamed and the electoral meltdown that we are now looking at in 2006. So far, we've had two of 50 primary elections this year. The first one was in Texas, that's right, the red state of Texas, and the second was in the blue state of Illinois. And what you may not know, unless you're faithful Bradblog readers, and I hope you are, is problems all over the state, and one of the things that has occurred is that a Republican, conservative, former Supreme Court justice has now filed an election contest because of the number of errors all across the state. That's right, you heard me right, a Republican, conservative. So for those folks who say that this is only a, as they like to say, that this is a Democratic issue, that it's only the Democrats who are upset, wrong. Think again. Steve Smith is the former justice down there, and he received, Winkler County. Winkler County in 2002, when he ran, he beat the statewide average in Winkler County by 74%. In 2004, he beat it by 65%. Guess how he did this year? He lost to his opponent by 100%. That's right, he received zero votes in Winkler County. Man, they don't like Steve Smith in Winkler County. Well, we're going to have a lot more on this and what came out in the Cleveland Plain Dealer today concerning the 2004 election recount and the three election workers who have been indicted for gaming the recount. But guess what? They're still working in the Board of Elections. Only in Ohio, folks. Well, maybe not only Ohio. Florida, too. We're going to get back with much more of that right after this. Tons of guests. I am your friendly citizen blogger, Brad Friedman, sitting in for Peter B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We sing the song of what's needed. All dressed in black and bones. Shocks up the blood that I'm bleeding. I know there's something more. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get
your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, meet Heaven Investments Holding Corporation, a real estate development and investment company based in Sacramento with offices in San Francisco as well. If you've ever wondered if there's still time to find the right investment property right here in Northern California, then you need to listen to Sunday at 10 a.m. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, heard all over Northern California. For more information, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
We're going.
Tom Hartman. When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Before Ohio even begins. The answer is no. It has been alluded and stated specifically, and I will state it again. Because of the partisan manipulation of Republican Secretary of State Blackwell in this state. It is not merely that Tim Blackwell is a Republican. It is that he served as the chair of the Bush-Cheney re-election effort. If we were to go to a sporting event and see one of the teams providing all the referees and umpires, we'd get suspicious. But we're suspicious now.
We voted on machines without a paper trail. Whoever brought us those touchscreens ought to go to jail. No more hanging chance, no more democracy. What's lost is lost, we have been had, screwed so thoroughly. Coup d'etat, oh coup d'etat, here we go again. Ohio and Florida, where cheaters go to win. Coup d'etat, oh coup d'etat, oh, yeah. No one wants to say that's two elections in a row. They're laughing all the way.
Yes, they are laughing all the way.
Ken Blackwell certainly is the Ohio Secretary of State, who just happens to be the co-chair for the Bush-Cheney 04 election. And he was laughing, well, he thought he was going to be laughing when last year he, as AP reported just the day before yesterday, Ken Blackwell revealed Monday that he accidentally invested in shares of voting machine manufacturer Diebold Inc. last year, a period when he was being sued by other manufacturers over contracts that Diebold was up for. Turns out that Blackwell had said that Diebold machines are the only ones, the only electronic voting machines to meet the federal and state standards under the Help America Vote Act of 2002. And so all over Ohio last year, 44 counties began in November 05, with new electronic voting machines. 41 of the 44 were using Diebold. So, you know, J. Kenneth Blackwell made out very well in that stock purchase, except for this little fact that not long after all of this happened, something happened with Diebold's stock. Amongst the things that happened over at BradBlog, we reported on a Diebold insider who is still anonymous, so I refer to this source only as Deeb. Throat told us was pretty alarming, and 3 days later, in fact, Diebold shares fell 20%, and they are now being sued for stock manipulation, insider trading, all sorts of things. Diebold shareholders, you might want to get out now, because Diebold is going to have a lot of splaining to do, as will J. Kenneth Blackwell, who, by the way, is running for governor this year on his own machines. All right, let me think. Talk about 04. We're talking about 06. Now, not to talk too much like George W. Bush, who says when we're talking about war, we're talking about peace. No, when we're talking about 04, that's just a preview for what we're going to be. Cuyahoga County have been indicted on felony charges for gaming the recount that was filed by the Green and Libertarian parties, not by the Democratic Party, not by John Kerry, but it was the Greens who stepped up. David Cobb, in particular, presidential candidate, that's who you heard as we're coming in the bumper music at the top of this segment. So they were supposed to have a recount, and they were supposed to recount 3% of the ballots, random precincts. And if they didn't match up, then they were to hand recount the entire county. Tinfoil hat, because you give a damn about democracy, because you give a damn about what happened in 2004. Let them know that so far, and this report says there may be more indictments, so far, three folks have been indicted in Cuyahoga County for gaming the recount and avoiding choosing precincts that would not match up. And I'll toss this in. When you're told that there wasn't enough votes to make a difference, that there couldn't have been enough fraud to make a difference, I will remind you that six votes, just six votes for John Kerry, registered for John Kerry, instead of George W. Bush, would have given the state to John Kerry. Six votes in each precinct. All right, what do we got here? John, we're going to have to go to a break here very shortly, so let me check this from John Gideon from VotersUnite.org. Sends in a story with voting machine companies now bankrupt. CEO speaks out. No vendor has a system that voters can trust. Holy cow. Oh, man. I'm going to have to read this. AccuPoll, I believe, in Pennsylvania. They were supposed to work out there, and they went bankrupt. And so they wanted
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to the designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with a brand new reality radio show every Saturday evening, 6 to 7, right here on AM 540 KRXA. We'll have colorful, interesting guests and we'll take your calls. There's no subject we won't explore together. 540 KRXA.
There can be no doubt that Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
We're resting our case on the fact that Saddam Hussein has developed weapons of mass destruction, has them in his possession.
The real threat to peace is Saddam Hussein and his possession of weapons of mass destruction.
There's a smoking gun, and it involves weapons of mass destruction.
They have weapons of mass destruction. That is what this war was about.
The Iraqi regime possesses biological and chemical weapons. The Iraqi regime is building the facilities necessary to make more biological and chemical weapons.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
In his speech to Congress, the Prime Minister opened the door to the possibility that you may be proved wrong about the threat from weapons, Iraq's weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, we won't be proven wrong.
Oh, no. They won't be proven wrong. Not going to happen. Never going to happen. Nothing to worry about. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I am Brad Friedman of BradBlog, your friendly citizen blogger, sitting in for Peter B. today. We're going to have Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress very shortly. I want to hit this item that just came in at the end of the last hour from John Gideon over at votersunite.org. And, hey, John, if you're listening, go ahead at the open thread over at BradBlog, if you can, in comments, add a link to this article. But it turns out that AccuPoll, one of the companies that recently went bankrupt, one of the voting machine companies, the CEO made a statement. Here's the statement. I am not happy about the outcome or the state of the industry. I think that something needs to be done. I'm not sure what it is. It probably doesn't include AccuPoll at this point, but I do not feel that any of the vendors has a system that voters can trust. That's Dennis Vadura, former AccuPoll CEO, over at, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later on with Bruce Funk, the Emory County County Clerk, who dared to let people look at the Diebold touchscreen machines out there. He's out of a job, it seems, because of it. But one of the other points you can check over there at BradBlog is it happened in Pennsylvania. I posted it last night. In Allegheny County, they had planned to go with Diebold voting machines this year until it turned out they found they could be hacked. So they decided to go with Sequoia voting systems instead, and last week they found that Sequoia voting systems can be hacked. So it was announced yesterday they're going to go with ES&S instead. I'll remind you that ES&S was the company who failed all over Texas on March 7th in those primaries. I spoke about the 100,000 extra votes added in Tarrant County, courtesy of ES&S. And Hart InterCivic. They work together down there in Texas to make sure your democracy sucks. All right, speaking of democracy sucking, we've got Faz Shakir here from the Daily, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report from the Center for American Progress. You can get your own copy via email from progressreport.org. He is Peter B's regular Thursday guest. I am glad to have him with us. Hey, Faz, how are you, sir?
Hey, Brad, how are you? It's nice to finally meet you. I'm always checking out your blog, and so it's nice to be on with you.
Now, are you just saying that to butter up the guest?
No. Everyone's familiar with the Brad blog out there in the blogosphere.
Well, you're very kind to say that. Hopefully they're familiar with it, and they like it. That said, what I like is the Center for American Progress and what you guys put out every single day, and I know you got a bunch of stuff that was on the wire today, but I want to focus in a little bit here on the big news about these leaks. And it turns out that maybe George W. Bush knew more than he told us. Go figure. Can you fill us in on some of those details, sir?
Sure. What we learned from the New York Sun this morning is that Scooter Libby is now telling the prosecutors in the case against him that President Bush authorized him to go ahead and leak classified intelligence regarding Iraq in order to push back against Jill Wilson's smears, or what they considered smears. And so they smeared Jill Wilson with classified intelligence, and he peddled this to New York Times reporter Judith Miller.
She was buying, that's for
sure. That's right. She's always a willing consumer of Scooter Libby's information.
Yes.
One of the bits of misinformation out there a little bit today is that President Bush authorized him to go ahead and leak Valerie Plame's actual name, which is pretty inaccurate. What he did do, though, is said go ahead and leak information about what we knew in the National Intelligence Estimate prior to going into Iraq in an effort to smear Joe Wilson, because Joe Wilson was saying, hey, I was telling these guys there wasn't a case there. There were no nuclear capacity. There was no uranium transaction going on. And I was telling them that. And so President Bush said, all right, let's just leak classified intelligence to smear this guy.
Now, in that National Intelligence Estimate, I'm sure they leaked the things that backed up their case, but there was a lot of stuff that didn't back up their case that actually backed up Joe Wilson's case.
That's a very good point. It was a very selective leak of information. They didn't, as one blog, the Left Coaster, pointed out today, that the information contained in the NIE did not refute what Joe Wilson was saying. It did not specifically mention the uranium transactions, and of course that was what Joe Wilson had made the center point of his complaint, is that I went there, I checked it out, there was no uranium transaction going on. And so when President Bush said, let's go ahead and use the NIE to push back on him, what he didn't realize, or maybe, you know, what they didn't want other people to realize, is that the NIE never specifically addressed that issue because the CIA agreed with Joe Wilson. So his case was strengthened in the sense that it was shown that he was right and the Bush administration was wrong.
And now the little bit of misinformation that you helped us clear up, let me see if I can clear that up a little bit further. Now, Libby did not say that Bush authorized him. Actually, Libby doesn't say that Bush authorized him to do anything, does he? He says that Bush authorized Cheney to authorize him.
Am I right? He learned through the grapevine. Vice President Cheney told him that President Bush had given Vice President Cheney the authority to go ahead and declassify this information.
Okay. And now, furthermore, to clear it up even further, hopefully, the while Libby didn't say that Bush gave the okay to release Valerie Plame's name, does he deny that, or is that just something that has not come out yet?
That has not yet been fully fleshed out. We don't know exactly what's going on with regards to the leak of Valerie Plame's name. It seems like it's from before we learned that Vice President Cheney was the one who told Scooter Libby that Valerie Plame was a covert agent. And so that's still out there. We still think that was the case, that Vice President Cheney told Scooter Libby who she was and go ahead and leak her name.
Right.
We don't know if President Bush was involved in that transaction yet.
Right. But now when you got Bush sort of okaying these leaks to Cheney and saying, hey, Cheney and Grapevine, go ahead and leak what you need to, we, in fact, don't yet know whether George W. Bush actually said, sure, go ahead, leak Valerie Plame's name.
That's right. I think that the key message coming out of today is that we now know that President Bush was involved in the campaign against Joe Wilson. I think that's the key message here. I mean, the timing of the release of this information was in June of 2003 when Joe Wilson was coming out, and the reason that they were peddling the stuff to Judith Miller at the New York Times was to push back against Joe Wilson. And we know that the President Bush was sitting in on these meetings and saying, giving the specific go-ahead to smear that guy.
And I hate to repeat things that folks may already know, but I think it bears repeating because people keep coming back to this and saying, oh, so what? They can do whatever they want. This is, and Faz, please confirm this, the first time that we know of in history that the White House has outed a covert CIA operative.
That's absolutely right. And another first thing that we learned today is that according to this court document that was revealed by the New York Sun, that this was the first time Scooter Libby had ever used declassified information and given it to a reporter. So, I mean, there was something special going on here, you know. And this was also it was also mentioned in the court documents that Vice President Cheney specifically told Scooter Libby that I want you to be the guy who delivers this message, not my press secretary. So they went around the press secretary to go ahead and push the smear.
And Scooter Libby was his chief of staff.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Now, one of the reports, I think it was in the Sun, said that Libby at least claims that he was concerned about this, that he objected at first?
He said he was at first concerned when Vice President Cheney said to go ahead and use this classified information to push back against Joe Wilson. He said that he at first resisted, but then Vice President Cheney told him later that President Bush had okayed it, specifically okayed the release of this information. We don't, of course, the big question out there is, was that true? And the interesting thing about that question is Britt Hume asked Vice President Cheney in that infamous interview after the shooting incident. Remember that where he came out with the pink tie and all that? At the end of that interview...
You mean the spraying incident?
That's right, the shot the man in the face interview with Britt Hume. At the end of that interview... Britt Hume specifically asks him, hey, you know, do you have the authority to unilaterally declassify information? And Cheney says, I don't want to get into that.
Yes.
So, again, we don't know whether Cheney was just making stuff up and telling Scooter Libby, hey, President Bush has okayed this, so go ahead and do it, or whether President Bush actually okayed it.
Man, we are so far through the looking glass. Okay, I want to talk more about the legality issues here and what the vice president and the president are or aren't allowed to do and what is the procedure that needs to be done when they want to declassify things. And the question of impeachment and the legality of that, what that's based on, and the fact that that's a political act, not necessarily a legal act. We're speaking with Faz Shakir. Right now from the Center for American Progress, we're going to take a break here shortly, and I should have given out the phone numbers. If you want to get in here while we still have some more time in this next segment, give us a call in Monterey, 831-899-5792, or around the world, toll-free, at least around the country, toll-free, 888-579-2727. 2540. More with Faz Shakir after this. And then Tom Tomorrow, Bruce Funk, and Ed Asner all ahead for you right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money in Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. R.J. will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join R.J. Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money in Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
I have brought peace, freedom, justice, and security to my new empire.
Your new empire? Anakin, my allegiance is to the Republic, to democracy!
If you're not with me, then you're my enemy.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
This is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause.
Yeah, you might as well. Might as well be back in the USSR. It looks a hell of a lot like America, but now I'm starting to wonder. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show on KRXA 540 AM in Monterey, KGOE 1480 AM in Eureka and all across the world via KRXA540.com. I'm Brad, sitting in for Peter B. Today we're speaking with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress about this this sudden new, you know what? And it's tough at this point to be surprised by any of this. It seems like, oh, we should be stunned, shocked. What? The President of the United States may have leaked classified information as retribution against a critic of the administration. That critic being Joe Wilson, and some of that information may or may not have led to the outing of his CIA agent wife, his covert CIA agent wife, and it's just amazing. You know, folks seem to forget about pointing this out. Dick Cheney said at one point that he had no idea who this Joe Wilson was until it came up in a news report. Joe Wilson was in charge of the embassy in Iraq during the first Gulf War. Joe Wilson was the last American to meet with Saddam Hussein just prior to that war. That was George Bush's father's war, and that was Dick Cheney as the Secretary of Defense. Am I out of my mind for thinking that his claim that he didn't even know who Joe Wilson was?
There can be no doubt that that the whole Bush family knows who Joe Wilson was. He was a close friend of the first President Bush, George H.W. Bush. And when he retired, Joe Wilson retired, President George H.W. Bush sent him a very nice letter saying, you know, I thank you for your service, and you've been invaluable to my administration, and you were invaluable to our efforts in the Persian Gulf War. So there, I don't think there's any doubt that all of the war hawks in that administration and the Bush family itself know who Joe Wilson was.
Except for Dick Cheney. It blows my mind. And then, you know, he says something like that. And, of course, we know Britt Hume ain't going to call him on it. But I can't believe that we are not hearing this pounded, you know, this was a couple years ago, I think, already, that Dick Cheney said, oh, I'm not familiar with the man. Never heard of him. Blah, blah, blah. I can't believe that, you know, I've asked too many times, where the hell is the media? Of course, Center for American Progress is where the media is, where they should be, and you guys are following the stuff that they should be following. Let's talk about the legality of this matter. Now, it is said or inferred that the president can declassify anything he wants at any time. Now, is there a process for that? Or is he just, if Bush says, okay, release it, if Bush releases it himself, is that legal? Because he's the president, he can do whatever he wants?
The interesting thing about this is that prior to 2003, there was a process. And then President Bush instituted a new executive order in 2003, changing the way things were classified and declassified. And in this order, it states that the president can basically declassify anything he wants and classify anything he wants. So, and this was right around the time that the war was going on and the Joe Wilson smear began. So many have speculated, including, a blogger named out there in Fire Dog Lake, I'm sure you're familiar with.
Sure.
They have speculated that, you know, the executive order was performed at this time to, in essence, give the go-ahead to do the smear operation that they needed to do to go against Joe Wilson.
And that they actually went ahead and made this change so they could do this. Now,
That's
did
right.
this change in procedure mean that he could... that he could leak without just by his command, or was there a paper trail for any of this?
From what most legal scholars who look at it seem to say is that the president can go ahead and classify anything he wants according to this executive order, and the declassification authority goes to anyone who has classification authority. Therefore, the president, having unilateral classification authority, also has declassification authority. The tougher question is, where does Dick Cheney and the vice president play in here? And then specifically, the executive order addresses these certain questions about who has declassification authority, and you have to be a supervisor, you have to be an original classifying authority. Dick Cheney is not any of those. The only way you could potentially argue that Dick Cheney has the power to declassify documents unilaterally without President Bush's command is if you think that he's co-president. And he has all the same powers that President Bush has.
Question is, does George Bush have the same powers that Dick Cheney has?
That's what we've always been wondering, right? I mean, who's really wearing the pants in the Oval Office?
Yeah. Well, interestingly put, Faz. my question, though, on this legality issue, therefore, if in fact, whatever this executive order that he issued that allows him to release this information, if that means that what he did was legal, we're going to move this ahead a step. Does that mean that, well, it was legal, so nothing impeachable?
No, not exactly, because what we know happened is that he declassified information from the National Intelligence Estimate, which did not specifically name Valerie Plame. Valerie Plame was named in other documents further down the line. We don't know what the status of declassification are with regards to those documents that did name her. So the fact that he may have declassified portions of the October 2002 NIE does not mean he then therefore gave the go-ahead to declassify Valerie Plame's name. The other point I'd like to make here is that Scooter Libby is not on trial for having leaked Valerie Plame's identity. He's on trial specifically for having made false statements and having engaged in perjury with regards to telling prosecutors and Patrick Fitzgerald what was the truth. So Patrick Fitzgerald is going after him for basically telling a lie.
Well, that's for him. I'm trying to move this these chips ahead because, frankly, I don't give a damn about Scooter Libby. It's clear that Bush and Cheney were behind all of this information, and, you know, chief of staffs don't go out and do this stuff on their own.
Right.
And so I think what I was getting at is, you know, there's this notion that, well, if the president did it, if it's legal, then there's, you know, nothing to hold him accountable for. Well, that's not really true because, again, when we talk about impeachment, it's not a legal thing. It's a political thing. Am I correct about that?
No, you're absolutely right. With regards to the question of impeachment, it's a completely political decision, just as censure would have been, right? It wasn't Russ Feingold built his case around a legal argument, but what it was a political maneuver to chastise somebody politically, and that's what impeachment would be as well. But even on the legal front, there's a distinction between declassifying the October 2002 NIE and leaking the identity of an undercover CIA agent. He did one. But he didn't have, it doesn't seem clear that he ever gave the authority to go ahead and do the second, to declassify her name. And that is the crime, of course. And if that was performed, then Vice President Cheney is still on the hook for legal liability, as is everybody else who partook in it.
And in the Libby trial, Cheney may well be called as a witness, correct?
Or Karl Rove as well, and Stephen Hadley. So those would be some interesting players to hear what they were doing, and from the court papers yesterday, it looked like it said specifically that Hadley was sending emails back and forth with Libby with regards to this. So he was an intimate player.
You bet he was. And, you know, folks, rawstory.com had reported on Hadley being a very intimate player in all of this for quite some time, and it's been overlooked by the rest of the mainstream media until they feel like running it and not giving them credit. Faz, I got to get out. Great talking to you. I hope to do it again soon. Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. Get his report, progressreport.org. Thank you, Faz.
All right.
All right, we're back with Tom tomorrow after this break. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A claim that President Bush authorized an intelligence leak.
For a president who has always prided himself on keeping secrets, today's news could hardly be more embarrassing.
A rough day at the Mousavi trial.
The government began its final push to win a death penalty with a riveting day of emotional testimony.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. More than 2 years ago, with questions swirling about who exposed a CIA operative and ruined her career, President Bush welcomed an investigation.
Leaks of classified information are bad things.
But out of that ongoing investigation comes an allegation that Mr. Bush himself leaked government secrets. Court papers filed by Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald say Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff, Scooter Libby, claims he leaked intelligence to help justify the invasion of Iraq. CBS News correspondent Gloria Borger picks up the story.
Libby told a grand jury that the vice president thought it was very important to leak parts of a classified intelligence document. According to his testimony, Libby advised the vice president that he could not speak with a reporter because the information was classified. After the vice president later advised him that the president had authorized it, Libby spoke with Judith Miller of the New York Times.
During the course of that meeting, Libby says he dropped the name of CIA operative Valerie Plame. There's no indication that was authorized by the president or vice president. But today's disclosure troubles Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer.
If the president leaked for whatever purpose, we ought to know that, and then we ought to know what distinguishes his leaking information from all the others who leaked information and were condemned by the president.
Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez says the president has the inherent authority to decide who should have classified information. Now this.
Celebrate a new season of baseball with Grand Slam Instant Savings this Friday and Saturday at CompUSA. Get instant savings with no rebate hassles on select HD TVs, cameras, wireless networking hardware, laptops, and more. Like a Sony Vaio laptop with Intel Centrino technology for under $900, a $200 instant savings. Knock it out of the park with Grand Slam Instant Savings this Friday and Saturday only at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. Quantities limited, see store for details.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks!
Okay, Kenny, try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
As they decide whether Zacharias Moussaoui deserves the death penalty for concealing the 9/11 plot, jurors heard today about the horrors of the terrorist attacks.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Prosecutors warned jurors they'd hear voices of pain and anguish. Screams of, oh, my God, filled the courtroom from a video showing a disintegrating World Trade Center tower. It was horrid, former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani testified. Sobbing on the stand, Tamar Rossbrook described seeing trapped victims leaping, first one at a time, then more organized in groups, aiming for a canopy far below. A picture showed holes all through that canopy. Escaping her hotel, she heard chirps all around, audio fireflies, she called them. They turned out to be alarms in firefighters' helmets that went off when their bodies stopped moving. As she spoke, Moussaoui sipped water. As the day wore on, some jurors cried. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
Get it done, says President Bush, urging Senate Democrats and Republicans to finalize a compromise on immigration. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has the latest from Capitol Hill.
What Senate leaders called a great breakthrough seems to pave the way for a bipartisan immigration bill as early as tonight that would make most illegal immigrants legal. That notion was initially opposed by Republican leader Bill Frist, but he came around to accept it.
But we do have 12 million people here today. We've got to be practical.
This infuriates some House Republicans who passed a bill to declare illegal immigrants criminals and make it a crime to help them. Tom Tancredo of Colorado.
It's a disastrous policy, and it's disastrous politics.
The Senate bill would give legal status and a chance at citizenship to illegal immigrants who've been here at least 5 years. Those in the U.S. between 2 and 5 years could get temporary work documents. Newcomers would remain undocumented. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
With a federal grand jury investigating her scuffle with a U.S. Capitol police officer, Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney went to the House floor this morning with an apology.
I am sorry that this misunderstanding happened at all, and I regret its escalation. And I apologize.
Hours later, the Georgia Democrat was being escorted by a private security guard when a reporter approached. There was a scuffle. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Many powerful days make up the fabric of America's history. Some are explosive, some unexpected. Only now do we realize how those days made our nation what it is today. 10 extraordinary documentaries, 10 award-winning filmmakers, one unprecedented event, 10 days that unexpectedly changed America, as only the History Channel can bring you. Premieres Sunday night at 9, 8 Central. Expect the unexpected.
Rosemount Diamond Shiraz presents The Urban Escape Plan, Bruce and Julie's Place.
It started with us versus our jobs.
I stopped loving mine a while ago.
Mm. Yeah.
So we stumble on a plan.
Over a bottle of Rosemount Diamond Shiraz.
We get a live/workspace.
A little house on the Oregon coast.
All four of us.
Like a commune.
Except with better clothes.
And more frequent bathing.
Great conversation is all about making connections. And Rosemount Diamond Shiraz is the place to begin. Pick up a bottle of Rosemount Diamond Shiraz at your local wine merchant.
Yes, I am stuck in the middle with you, and I couldn't be happier about it. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen blogger, sitting in today for your humble host, Peter B. Collins, who is out and about. I think he's out on the East Coast. We're delighted to be sitting in for him today. I am his usual Friday afternoon guest. I am the last hour of Friday. I send him off to his weekends. And I'm going to be doing that again today because I think tomorrow it's a Peter B. Collins best of. I'm hoping it's Friday show so you get more Brad Friedman for your money. This is, as I say, Peter B. Collins show on KRXA 540 AM in Monterey. In Eureka, California, KGOE 1480 AM. And across the globe at KRXA540.com. We are glad to have you with us. We're going to have This Modern World's Tom Tomorrow coming up. I know that he's got a lot of fans because everyone I mentioned, hey, we're getting Tom Tomorrow on the show. They were like, oh, I love that guy. Well, I love him too. So cartoonist and blogger Tom Tomorrow will be with us shortly. Next hour, we're going to have Emory County, Utah, election clerk, Bruce Funk, who went to work the other day and isn't allowed back into his office. He is an elected official. We're going to find out why. Hint, it's got something to do with a little company named Diebold. We're also going to have Ed Asner. The great Lou Grant is going to be with us. And I'm pretty sure that Lou Grant, after the Mary Tyler Moore Show, I'm pretty sure that the Lou Grant Show was the last time the media actually did their job. That was a fake news show. And they did a hell of a lot better than the real news that we've got here today in 2006. All right, give us a call if you want. You want to talk to Tom? He's going to be with us for the whole hour. Give us a call at in Monterey, 831-899-5792, or around the country, toll-free, 888-579-2540. You can try and send me email, brad@bradblog.com, or stop by the blog to take part in our open thread. I'm trying to keep my eyes on everything as best as I can. Wish me luck. All right. Well, here we are. Let me catch up here. Yes, Tom Tomorrow is with us, the blogger at thismodernworld.com, but perhaps better known from his cartoon strip, if we can call it that, seen around the country, This Modern World. He's also author of Hell in a Handbasket, Dispatches from the Country Formerly Known as America, just hitting the bookshelves a week ago, March 23rd. And if I'm not mistaken, let's see, what's the date today? The 6th? Yesterday, Tom Tomorrow turned 45 years old. Happy birthday, Tom.
Thanks, Brad.
How are you doing?
Don't feel a day over 44.
You don't? Well, that's good.
I think you get an image of yourself in your head at a certain age, and I swear I've never felt much past my mid-30s. I think I'm going to be 70 and still think I'm 35 inside.
Yeah, but, you know, blogging makes you older really quickly, doesn't it?
Well, blogging makes you tired really quickly, no doubt about that.
It's exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know how you do a daily strip and keep up the blog, although I know you brought in some guest bloggers.
Yeah, I have. I invited a few friends in to help me out, and that's really the only way I've kept it up. I mean, it's this crazy thing. I not to pat myself on the back, that's not the intention, but I started blogging for, you know, I just happened to run across some blog software and thought it would be a kind of a nifty thing to do. I had never seen another blog. I had no idea. And, of course, at this point, there really weren't any liberal blogs. The right-wingers, right after 9/11, kind of owned the blogs. So I was basically, for a short, brief while, I was the first high-profile liberal blogger. And, yeah, it's always, you know, there have been many times where I've considered just walking away from it entirely. It's just exhausting.
It is. Is it more exhausting than writing a daily strip, a weekly strip?
Well, it's a little more relentless. I mean, with the weekly strip, I have a certain rhythm. I have a certain amount of time. I'm not actually a big fan of instant punditry, if you will. I think that you kind of need to think about things a little bit and kind of read up on them and get a sense of what you think about them. And the blogs do not encourage reflection, you know. I mean, there's a wide range, and there are some very reflective, very good writers who happen to be keeping blogs. But overall, the blogs just sort of encourage getting stuff up quick, fast, messy, you know, instant punditry. And I think, in fact, when I first heard, you know, there is that right-wing blogger named Instant Pundit. When I first heard his name, I thought it was a joke. I thought he was, like, riffing. I thought, like, what, you're saying that you're even more thoughtless than regular pundits, you know?
Yeah, and he's proud of it, Glenn Reynolds.
Yeah.
That's true. And, you know, of course, I'm one to talk with my blog, although I'm, I think, a little bit different than a lot of the blogs out there in that I report a lot of news, not necessarily opinions, because, frankly, I don't give a damn what I think about something, so I don't know why anybody else would. And, yes, it slips.
I have been weirdly afflicted with the idea that other people should care what I think.
Is that right?
Yes. Well, I guess I must be, or else why would I be doing this cartoon?
Well, and now you've been doing this cartoon for how long now?
Well, with any notice at all since about 1991, but been doing it several years before that.
Well, I noticed back in 1991, I should add. And actually, before we get to the strip, let me just close the loop on, for the moment, on the blog. When did the, you said right after 9/11. How long have you been doing the thismodernworld.com blog?
Well, I started up with the blog in, very late 2001, very early 2002, right in there somewhere.
Did you beat Josh Marshall?
No, I think he's a pre-9/11 blogger. But I was there before pretty much everybody else.
That was a long time ago. I've
everybody
only been doing
on
it
our
2 years. What's that?
I saw everyone else on our side of the fence, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I've only been doing it for 2 years. I'm absolutely exhausted. So
well,
I don't
blog
know,
years,
so
that's about two decades.
What? Say that again?
In blog years, that's about two decades.
Oh, it completely is. I was asking Matt, the producer up in Monterey, when he could give me the archives from today's show so I could get it posted for folks who weren't able to come on, and he said, oh, probably tomorrow. And I was thinking, well, that's about 2 weeks in blog time. I want this thing by the time I get home so we can get it up. All right, so that was a long time ago. Well, 1991, I was paying attention back then. I think it was, I was living in New York, Village Voice ran it. Am I correct on that?
No, it took me a while to break into The Voice, although I would appear there occasionally. New York was one of the toughest markets to crack. But
Are you in the New York market?
I've been in the Village Voice since about 1995, 96, okay. Something like that.
And where did who was the first paper? We should give them credit for finding it.
The first ones were just little ones that have long since vanished off into the newspaper graveyard. But you know, early on, oddly, I ran in the San Diego Reader, but as the strip became that the editor of that paper is socially conservative on a number of issues, and as the strip became more political, it became less welcome in his paper. Fortunately, by then I was running in several others.
And it has changed over time. We're going to talk a little bit about that after we come back, get some of Tom Tomorrow's influences, and I want to ask him about Boondocks. I want to ask him about an animated Tom Tomorrow show. Anyway, so you can hang with us for the hour, Tom? We lost him. Okay, good. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. More with Tom Tomorrow, and we'll take, hopefully, your calls in a bit. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, meet Heaven Investments Holding Corporation, a real estate development and investment company based in Sacramento with offices in San Francisco as well. If you've ever wondered if there's still time to find the right investment property right here in Northern California, then you need to listen to Sunday at 10 a.m. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, heard all over Northern California. For more information, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show, About College Funding, this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
All right, KRXA, check your traffic. On the ride home, oh, Amy.
I'm still here. And we have lots to talk about. Some interesting things this afternoon in Aromas. Several llamas walking around in the roadway, Cole Road and Anzar. So you never know. We had buffalo walking around earlier in the afternoon, llamas. Heck, it's just the Dr. Doolittle show this afternoon. Also in SoCal, Robertson Street at Esta Lane, a large oak tree and some power lines down. We'll keep you posted on that. And one accident to talk about, Highway 183 at Castroville Boulevard. It's involving a patrol vehicle. Highway Patrol's on scene. And this report brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Protect your car's engine with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up Valvoline conventional motor oil for $1.99 per quart. Napa, get the good stuff. Amy Knight with traffic and animals on KRXA 540.
I didn't know her name. It didn't leak her name. This is at the Justice Department. I'm confident that the U.S. Attorney, the prosecutor who's involved in looking at this, is going to do a very thorough job of doing a very substantial and conclusive investigation. I didn't know her name. It didn't leak her name.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination.
I didn't know her name. It didn't leak her name.
We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation.
Well, we are defying explanation here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman sitting in with you today, defying explanations as buffalo and llama apparently roam the streets of Monterey. You had to hear the traffic report. We are here with Tom Tomorrow, cartoonist, blogger extraordinaire, for the next hour, and we will be taking your calls. You want to talk to Tom, give us a call in Monterey, 831-899-5792. Around the country, toll-free at 888-579-2540. Tom?
Yes.
Tom Tomorrow is not your real name, is it?
No, it's not.
And is that an open secret or a closed secret?
Well, you know, it's the witness protection program. They didn't want... No, my name is actually Dan Perkins.
And see, all these years, I didn't even know that. If I was a good investigative blogger, I would have figured that out. Huh?
Yeah, it's not hard to find out.
Now, do most people call you Tom or Dan publicly?
Depends. Publicly, mostly I get Tom. My wife calls me Dan, well, among other things.
Oh, so she knows. You've told her.
Yeah.
So most people call you Tom. Where'd you come up with the name Tom?
In public, most people I meet, but yeah.
Yeah? Now I don't know what to call you. Now, where did you come up with Tom Tomorrow, and why? Why not this modern world with Dan Perkins?
You know, the cartoon was initially set in a slightly science fiction-y world. It was originally mostly a satire on technology and consumerism, and hence This Modern World is the title, and Tom Tomorrow kind of went along with that. I also thought it would be something that people might remember easier. All I can say, having just turned 45, is God help you if you're stuck with the decisions you make at the age of 25.
so you're sorry you're kind of stuck with that at this point.
Oh, I don't really care one way or the other, but it is a little, there's the ongoing, what do I call you, question. And, you know, given that most people have never heard of me anyway and have no interest in calling me anything, and then there's also a sizable portion of the population that wants to call me things that you can't say on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's quite a few people who have quite a few things they'd like to call you. So, you know, that's right, though. I do remember when it was more sort of the futuristic, it's amazing, when the tone changed a little bit, why? Was it because you changed, or was it because the times changed, and all of a sudden it is as if we're in a science fiction world, even though it's supposed to be reality?
Well, lately I feel like we're living in a cartoon, no question about that, but the tone of the cartoon changed. Actually, in 1991, during the first Gulf War, I was pretty angry and, you know, wishing I had some sort of public forum with which to express my opinion, and I suddenly realized that actually I did. I had a cartoon, and the cartoon kind of gradually became more political from there.
And now you must watch the influences. One thing I love about This Modern World is it seems to cut through the mainstream crap. You seem to be ahead of the curve constantly on this, and this warped, twisted world that we find with Fox News. You must watch a lot of Fox News, Tom.
Well, less than I used to, because they're, you know, it's not hard to figure out. I could pretty much tell you Sean Hannity's talking points, on the Bush leak. I mean, he'll certainly be saying, you know, no laws were broken, and what about when Clinton did something similar, and, you know, on and on like that. It's not hard to figure these things out in advance, what their basic riff is going to be. The hard thing is coming up with something more absurd.
than what they're actually. Here's an example. You know, I always have a stack of half-written cartoons that I go back through periodically and see if there's anything salvageable there. I was going through it after Dick Cheney shot a guy in the face, and I swear to God this is true. In this pile of cartoons, I had this half-written cartoon in which Dick Cheney was hunting human beings like animals on a private game reserve. You know, the point being, what can these people do that would possibly alienate the base? And I was trying to come up with, you know, ludicrous examples, and then Dick Cheney actually shot a guy in the face, and I was kind of kicking myself that I didn't actually get that one into print.
Yeah, because there was actually something that you ran. I remember, boy, I'm trying to remember what it was. There was something, I think you had linked to it on the blogs with a link like, by the way, here's what I ran 2 years ago.
You're talking, I put that up a few weeks back. The week we won the war and pulled down the statue 3 years ago, you remember
that? Was
that,
great, and congratulations, great. By the way, to you and to all of us Americans for winning.
Well, we should all be very proud of our accomplishment. Anyway, that week, my cartoon that ran ended, you know, basically it was a rundown of all the happy talk we were inevitably going to get throughout the war, and it holds up pretty well. The final panel has these two guys talking, saying, well, you know, of course Iraq has descended into chaos and civil war, but Iran is going to be a cakewalk, which is frighteningly where we actually are right now.
Yep.
Now, I'm always quick to point out that there was actually nothing special about me figuring this out. There were a million people in the streets in February of 2003 trying to get the same idea across, that this whole thing was a bad idea and it was not going to work out well.
Well, yeah, and what's amazing is it didn't work out well, and yet they're still talking about going into Iran anyway.
Well, yeah.
It's as if we're in some Tom Tomorrow world. You're right. It's hard to find stuff that is even more absurd than reality. We're speaking with Tom Tomorrow, or Dan Perkins, however you want to look at it, cartoonist of This Modern World. New book is out, Hell in a Handbasket. Let's see here. I gotta keep an eye on this clock. I'm just learning this media game myself. Okay, good. We do have a minute here before we come back. I hope you can stick with us for the rest of the hour. And the question, the new book, Hell in a Handbasket.
It's a great book. One thing that I've been hearing from readers is they're initially reluctant to buy it because they figure they've read all the cartoons already, but it's actually, I am told, a pretty concise history of the last 3 years as seen through, you know, my particular perspective, and people actually do really seem to enjoy going back, and one guy wrote in and said, you know, what was good is this reminded me that we actually, it's not just hindsight, we really were critical at the time.
Yeah, and that's true, and that was one of the things that I noticed. I had come across your, you had done a year in review, I think it was a two-part piece, and every now and again I mercilessly lift your tunes and run them over at Bradblog. Sorry, with a link to your site, sue me. And one of
I'll call my attorney as soon as we're done.
I know you will. And one of those, I found the year in review about a month after the year, the new year had ended, and I was kicking myself for not posting them. Read it. It was fresh as the day is long, whatever that means. And so is the book. More with Tom Tomorrow after this break. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters, this Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. My topic is your pets, the healthy love connection. This is another lively show about dogs, cats, bunnies, and horses. You'll want to hear what our guests have to say. Tune in for Dr. Jocelyn Thurm, Bay Area veterinarian, Heather Marchman, horse specialist and owner, Rebecca Thomas, pet body worker, and Heidi Kistler of the Positively Pampered Pet. The conversation will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Do you know how your pets can benefit from the latest improvements in veterinary medicine? Is there intuition between you and your pet? What's special about those who know and love horses? Keep listening and we'll keep talking about things that matter. My shows are archived on joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. Your pets, the healthy love connection, this Saturday at 3.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Sorry about that, Tom. You're listening to the Peter B.
couldn't resist, could you?
I couldn't. Does that happen every damn time you're on a radio show?
No, fortunately.
Just jerks like me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did not mean to imply such a thing.
All right. Well, if you think you're annoyed, just wait till Ed Asner gets here in the next hour and hear some of that bumper music. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your fill-in humble host, Brad Friedman. Your friendly citizen investigative blogger from bradblog.com. Couldn't be happier to be here with my guest for the rest of this hour, Tom Tomorrow, or as he's known to his wife, Dan Perkins, the cartoonist and blogger of This Modern World. Give us a call if you want to get in. Have a question for Tom, for me, about blogging, about tuning, any damn thing you want to talk about. We're glad to do it. In Monterey, 831-899-5792. And around the country, 888-579-2540. Let's go ahead and take a call. Jennifer from Humboldt. How are you, Jennifer?
Good. How are you? Can you hear me? I'm on a cell phone.
We can hear you fine. What's going on?
Well, my main issue of concern is global warming, and actually because of people like Peter B. Collins and Tom Hartman, I started a little group up here to do global warming awareness and education called the Redwood Alliance Climate Action Project. And we're going to be doing a sort of one-issue tabloid to educate people up here in Humboldt County about global warming. And we're looking for some cartoons. And I heard you, Tom, on the radio, and I was wondering if you have any global warming cartoons.
Yeah, I have the worst memory for my own work. It's a topic I've returned to repeatedly, so you'd have to just dig through the archives, which are on my website, thismodernworld.com, because I can barely remember the cartoon I finished last week, but I know that I have done this on numerous occasions. I remember one specifically where cockroaches inherit the earth, and they're complaining about the media or something. But yeah, it's definitely a topic that I've done many times.
That the cockroaches are complaining that the media is not reporting the good news.
Yeah, something like that, exactly.
Man, how do you decide what to go with topics? Just a feeling, just what's moving you that week?
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, I am not anyone's, I should not be anyone's primary information source, so it's just
now
whatever
you tell me.
Whatever the inspiration is that also can be, you know, whatever the story is, whatever the idea is, that can also be combined with a funny idea. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Otherwise, I'm just ranting.
And here's a funny idea, and that kind of works into the this modern world thing. Electronic voting machines, Dan.
Yeah, I had Sparky dressed up as a... Somebody misinterpreted this one recently. I had Sparky dressed up as a Diebold. How do you pronounce it? I've always said Diebold, but
no,
it's
Diebold, actually. Yeah,
as a Diebold machine for Halloween.
You did?
Being, yeah, last year, the year before. The point being that it was very scary. But someone, I was on the radio with somebody recently. I've been on book tour, and I was on the radio with someone who thought that I was trying to tell critics of Diebold to shut up, which was exactly the opposite of what I was intending.
Wow, I didn't. I was not aware of that one.
Yeah, I think it was Halloween 2 years ago.
Halloween 2 years ago. Okay, well,
as I said, I have the worst memory for my own work. So,
if any Brad bloggers are out there poking around the This Modern World archives and can find it and give us a link in the open thread over at BradBlog, we'd appreciate it. I'd love to give that a look. And well, you were as usual 2 years ahead of your time because, frankly. Dan, in case you haven't noticed, we got a hell of a mess on our hands this year, and you may want to pull out that Diebold strip again at some point, I have a feeling.
yeah, it's well, that's the thing these days, is that there's such a plethora of riches, it's really kind of hard to know what to go with from week to week. I got back from book tour, kind of didn't really have any ideas for a couple of weeks, finally decided to go with Tom DeLay. Yesterday, I mean, this is every week. Yesterday, the breaking story is Tom DeLay. Today, the breaking story is that Bush was leaking classified information. Tomorrow, it's going to turn out that Bush did, in fact, leak Valerie Plame's name, you know? I mean, just every day, it's something.
I know, and I'm glad you bring that up, because this is something that, you know, because you've been doing this a long time, so at least since 91, so you can confirm this. It wasn't always like this, right? Is it just because I'm paying closer attention now because I'm a blogger, or has this world gone just insane as far as the news goes?
Here we go. I was just looking it up. That strip is from 10/28/03.
10/28/03. Superb.
Yeah. It's. I mean, part of it, of course, is that we're paying closer attention, but no, there are big stories breaking every day on top of the constant what I hate to say has essentially become background noise of just this constant overwhelming tragedy that is the Iraq war. And it's just, you know, I think it's really easy for a lot of people just to get news fatigue from the whole thing.
I you know, I've said many times when I'm on radio shows, it seems to me that it is the amount of scandals that these guys are in that is actually saving them.
Yeah.
That you can't focus on anyone for any period of time. Even if the media, mainstream media, did give a damn about digging into them, you can't stay on one. You can't dig into it long enough before another one breaks the next day. It is one a day, and that's on a slow news day.
Yeah, no, I did a cartoon. I don't even remember how far back. It must have been
certainly 4 years ago, in which one of my characters, yeah, here it is, it's from February 11th, 03, one, my sort of bearded liberal character has outrage overload, and he rants on for four panels about all of the things that he's angry about. And this is in 03.
Yes.
You know, like I would need to make it a four-parter.
Yes.
To express the same idea today.
No one can keep track. Now, back in the 90s, they used to talk about scandal fatigue for Bill Clinton. So,
yeah,
what's
we didn't
the difference?
Know how good we had it.
Yeah, no kidding. What's the difference,
one
though?
One simple scandal, easy to keep track of.
Right. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, the difference.
All right, let's take
clearly.
Another call here, real quick. Dave, also in Humboldt. Hey, Dave, welcome to the Peter B. Show.
Well, Brad, you have done so much wonderful work on a most important issue, I think the most important issue confronting this country. And one of the things, I hope you can come up with some ideas on how we're going to get through this, but we received surveys from Democratic Party asking us what priority we give to all kinds of issues, and nowhere do they mention election fraud. I listen to senators and congressmen, Democrats, speaking every day, and nowhere do I hear them speaking of election fraud. Are they just stupid, or is it that you're way ahead of the rest of the world here?
Or am I just nuts? Am I a tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorist,
as
many
would
have
you
believe?
No, 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 no. They designed these machines with a purpose in mind. They block all efforts to make them verifiable with a purpose in mind.
Well, now, you know, of course, I agree, and you know, I've been reporting on this for 2 years, and I'm frankly amazed how I can't even get the supposed lefty bloggers to pay attention to this, despite this election system crumbling around us.
Certainly true. I mean, I've seen a lot about it on the left blogs over the years. I mean, you know, people get mad at me occasionally because I don't hammer home the one issue that they really care about every day.
Right.
But there's a lot of, you know, like you know, you look at my blog and I post anymore about once every two or three days, and there's a lot of stuff that I just figure Atrios and Daily Kos have much larger readerships than I do anyway, and if they're on it, I just don't really, I'm not that worried about it. I figure the information is out there. Do you really think people are ignoring this story?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And
well,
I do, I'm sorry to say, and including Daily Kos and Atrios. Daily Kos has gone so far as to purge people. And, you know, I like Marcus. I think he does a great job. But he's actually purged people who talk about election fraud. And if anybody actually pays attention, if you are silly enough to actually read Brad Blog every story for a week, you'll be blown away because these things are not, you know, they're not conspiracy theories. I see what's going on. You know, I see that there's a Republican Supreme Court justice challenging the primary election in Texas because 100,000 votes were added in one county alone. You know, I see that these machines are being hacked place after place. This is, you know, evidence. This is not theory. This is not conjecture anymore. And in Illinois, their recent primaries, 400 memory cards disappeared. Dan,
I'm not as aware of everything. I'm not as up to speed as you are, but you don't have to convince me that the thing has a real stench about it.
Well, the thing is, it's more than a stench, and I actually don't mean to come down on you about it. It's more the media, but the National Democratic Party, they ain't getting it, and they have put these machines everywhere. We've had two disastrous primaries so far this year. We've got 48 to go. Never mind the general. You just wait. They'll catch up with us.
When our new robot overlords are elected to run the country, and nobody can quite figure out how that happened. President Hal 9000.
No kidding. I wish that wasn't as funny as it is. Let's see. We got another minute or two. What are some of your? We will presume, of course, that you read Brad Blog every damn day assiduously.
Every minute, I barely tear myself away from the computer.
I know. You don't have to just say that. I know that. But aside from that, when you have some free time that you're not reading Brad Blog, what are your favorite news sources and blogs out there?
Oh, you know, I've actually cut down on the blog reading just because it just took up too much time. But, I mean, news sources are just sort of the basic, you know, your basic media. You know, your, your New York Times, CNN. You just get your basic stories and see how they're being spun, that sort of thing. I check in with Atrios and Coase every day. I check in with T-Bog every day.
I'm
just looking at my own links here. August Pollock, I read. I read Pandagon. I read the Huffington Post. I read Digby. I will occasionally check in with Crooks and Liars and Fire Dog Lake. I'm not super up to speed on it anymore. Like, the blogosphere really exploded, and I just, Glenn Greenwald, he's good.
Yeah, he is good, isn't he? Just out of nowhere.
But these guys come out of nowhere. But what's good about him, too, is that, you know, he writes in depth. He really just takes an issue and attacks it like a pit bull. And I like that because I come away from it usually learning something. There are sometimes the just sort of quick links to different things. That just kind of makes my eyeballs hurt after a certain point.
Yep, there's a lot of noise and a lot of echo out there, and so it's always nice when you find someone like Glenn who's actually doing some, you know, original thought, original content. Hang in there with us. We got one more segment coming back. We'll take some more calls with Tom tomorrow or Dan Perkins, depending on who you are and what you call them. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
So now you're going, whisper slowly at a mention. Listen to what we can't believe.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize at events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports, including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
All right, another check of your traffic on the way home, your traffic and your llamas with Amy. Hey, Amy.
Yeah, Brad, they're headed off to the Ark this afternoon. Still have those llamas out in the lanes and Aromis at Anzar Road. Three llamas walking around in the roadway, so drive with caution. In Soquel, Robertson Road at Estill Lane, a large oak tree brought down some power lines, and PG&E and CHP both on scene now, so hopefully they'll have that situation fixed shortly. On the Pacheco Pass, eastbound 152 at Casa de Fruta, a broken down car partially blocking one of the lanes there, and no new problems to report on Highway 68 between Monterey and Salinas. Protect your car's engine with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up Valvoline conventional motor oil for only $1.99 per quart. Napa, get the good stuff. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Now I can understand why you were hot, 'cause Bin Laden never did get caught. So you said we had Saddam to blame. Tried to tell us it was all the same. our kids keep dying. You don't even have a plan to bring them home. And those WMD you promised on TV, hey, admit it, you figured it wrong. So I'm taking my country back.
Oh yeah, we're taking it back right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Sitting in for PBC while he's out and about is your friendly citizen investigative blogger, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, along with Tom Tomorrow of thismodernworld.com, an old man in blog time over there, and of course...
In dog years.
And of course, the author of This Modern World, the cartoon strip, with a new book out, Hell in a Handbasket. Now on a bookstore shelf near you. Got just a few more minutes. Going to take a quick call or two if we can get it in. Give us a call if you want. 888-579-2540. Favorite strips other than yours, Tom?
Oh, that's always a tough question.
If you don't like any of them, that's okay.
I like Reuben Bowling, who's one of my fellow All Weekly cartoonists, who's just quite brilliant. I like what David Reese does. He does Get Your War On, which he just has a very he's a good writer.
Have you seen Tom this new Boondocks? I know you know the strip, but the animated show.
I only saw one little clip of it online. I haven't had a chance to actually see it on TV.
And actually, Ed Asner's with us in the next hour. He's got a recurring role on
this
thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I can say, check it out. This thing blows me away. I've never seen anything on TV like it.
Wow.
It's completely different, really, from the strip. Give it a look. Anybody ever talk to you about an animated?
Oh, we probably don't have enough time to get into that subject. Short answer is I've developed work for Saturday Night Live that never made it on the air. I had an online animated series for a couple of years right at the start of the Bush administration, or actually right at the end of the Clinton, start of the Bush administration, most of which kind of strikes me as horribly dated right now. And I spent a year working on a screenplay with a man named Michael Moore.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, unfortunately, we had money lined up, which unfortunately fell through, and he went on to other projects, a little movie called Fahrenheit 9/11.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, kind of an obscure. He's like an indie guy. I don't know.
Yeah, art house thing.
Art house kind of guy.
All right, then here's
So anyway, I've had a lot of things that didn't really go anywhere, so when people say, oh, did you ever think about animation? I say, yes, I think it drives me crazy.
Here's a tip. With the success, I believe, of Boondocks over on Adult Swim at Cartoon Network, you should give him a call, because I think that now is quite the ripe time for this. And
yeah,
I couldn't think of a better
hour-long
coupling.
You know, I was working with some people for a time. I think we pitched shows to pretty much everybody in Manhattan, so I'm sure we were by their offices at some point.
Let's take a quick call here. Lynn, also in Humboldt. Lynn, welcome to the PBC show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Is it Lynn?
I have a friend, David, who calls this show fairly regularly, and he has a very pertinent question. I haven't heard anybody answer well. He asks, if they hack the next election, if they steal the next election, what can we do then that we aren't doing now? And I would like to kind of turn that around and say, what can we do more now to prevent it from happening?
We will talk about that in the next hour, but the first part of your question brings up an interesting thought, and I want to ask Tom this. Are you surprised with all of this news and everything that's going on and the way the American people are just seem to be absolutely furious that they can't seem to change what the hell is going on in D.C.? Are you surprised that they haven't hit the streets yet?
No, I think part of it is news fatigue, and I think it's not... I think you don't hit the streets from just a sort of growing, overwhelming sense of dread. You hit the streets from a sudden sense of anger or fear. I mean, let's be honest, a lot of the protests for the Vietnam War were young people of draft age. I'm not really surprised. Protesting in the streets has really been sort of hugely marginalized in this country. It's just not something that your average person really thinks of themselves as doing. Having said that, in the run-up to war, when people were afraid and angry, they turned out, you know, by the hundreds of thousands in this country, by the millions around the world. So I just, you know, what's the one specific, what's the thing? Are we going to, do you want to see 100,000 people in the streets because Bush leaked classified information? You know what I mean? Like, what's the trigger going to be? And I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't either, although
I'll tell you what I'm more surprised about is that the Democrats are still acting as if George Bush has an 80% approval rating.
I know. And so is the media, by the way, because there was 100,000, some say 300,000 in the streets. The Cindy Sheehan protests, top of the year, I think, back in January. I can't recall
when it was.
And you don't see it on the, didn't see it on the news. Not
yeah, but then, you know, 'twas ever thus. I mean, you know, the media always ignore protests in the streets. I mean, that doesn't change no matter who's in power.
Have they always ignored
this? Yeah, that's... Every protest I've ever been a part of, and I'm thinking back to the first Gulf War, you know, when we had very, very large numbers in the streets and the media did everything they could to downplay it and marginalize it.
You hit on a, Matt, our producer, types in, unless they're in France, then the media, takes notice.
Right.
A minute or two left here. You came up with a very succinct mathematical equation that you illustrated on your site.
Yes, it's available as a bumper sticker on my blog. Nixon, and it's just a picture of Nixon minus a picture of a brain equals a picture of Bush's head.
I don't get it.
Yeah, well, I was never very mathematically inclined either. Maybe you know somebody at a college or something who can explain it to you.
Yeah, I don't get it. Nixon
anyway,
minus
so
brain equals Bush?
Yeah. Can I jump in and say the book's in full color, covers 3.5 years, you know, from November of 2002 to just before Hurricane Katrina. If you haven't been paying attention, a lot of stuff happened during those 3.5 years, and the book is a great way to get up to speed on the whole thing.
Excellent, and no doubt it is. As you know, this modern world is my number one news source.
Heard that pause there. My sort of dry delivery gets me in trouble. One of the people who was driving me around on my book tour met me at the airport. I had bought a big stuffed Curious George as a gift for my kid. And I just kind of said without thinking, oh, yeah, I always carry George around. And I learned at the end of the day that she had gone through the entire day believing I was serious, that, in fact, I always travel with a big stuffed Curious George. Oh, I have to learn to, you know, let people know when I'm joking.
No, that was the thing about Andy Kaufman. He never used the finger to point out what he was doing. And you don't need to. Dan Perkins, better known as Tom Tomorrow of This Modern World and thismodernworld.com, the blogger, check out his new book on stands now, Hell in a Handbasket. I know your publicist has got one on their way to me now. Right.
Well, I'm sorry they didn't get it to you in time.
No.
But I am very proud of it, and it has to do well, basically, because I have a new publisher, and they've poured a bunch of support into it, and if this book doesn't do well, there won't be any more. So,
please go buy the book, thismodernworld.com. Yes, go buy it. You can get to it. I've got only like 10 seconds to answer this question. Are Republicans irony impaired?
Republicans are definitely humor impaired, and I have a cartoon on that coming up soon. But, you know, the fact that Ann Coulter thinks, let's kill the Supreme Court, let's kill the New York Times, is a joke. It tells you everything you need to know about Republican humor.
I can't believe you don't think that's funny, Tom. All right, brother. Thanks for jumping in with us today.
Thanks,
really appreciate it. Tom Tomorrow of This Modern World. We're going to be back with much more Bruce Funk and Ed Asner coming up on the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Moliano. Revelations today in court documents that President Bush, through Vice President Dick Cheney, put Dick Cheney's chief of staff into play as the White House leak on Iraq war policy. CBS News legal consultant Andrew Cohen.
The news, I suppose, is more politically damaging to the White House than it is legally relevant. In many cases, the president has the authority to declassify information. Presidents do it all the time for a variety of reasons, and there's no indication that either the president or the vice president authorized specifically the disclosure of Valerie Plame's name.
It's just so happened the CIA operative's name came out during the Iraq war intel leak. Still, Democratic New York Senator Chuck Schumer's not ready to let go just yet.
The president has said that he'd fire anyone who leaked this kind of information. But it now seems that he authorized leaks just like this in the first place.
It was either a clever plant or presidential screening is slipping in North Carolina.
In my lifetime, I have never felt more ashamed of nor more frightened by my leadership in Washington, including the presidency, by the Senate and the House.
No, let her say. Let her speak.
I would hope from time to time that you have the humility and the grace to be ashamed of yourself, inside yourself.
President Bush made no excuses for authorizing warrantless wiretaps.
You can come to whatever conclusion you want. The conclusion is I'm not going to apologize for what I did.
At issue, whether the jury in the trial of 9/11 co-conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui will recommend life or death. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato at the Virginia courthouse, where the prosecution is determined to hear death.
A day of emotional testimony ended with relatives of victims tearfully describing how their lives have been devastated by September 11th. Mike Lowe of Batesville, Arkansas, said his wife and his daughter Sarah were so close they'd get lost in each other's company and thoughts. Then Sarah died on American Flight 11. His wife, he says, now leads a life of pain and sheer devastation. We're frozen in time, he said. The brother-in-law of victim Pendyala Vamsi Krishna tearfully told how his sister hanged herself after her husband died, leaving a note saying, the pain is excruciating. I can't live without him. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
From the streets of America to the halls of Congress to a town meeting with the president. The story's immigration.
I'm pleased that Republicans and Democrats in the United States Senate are working together to get a comprehensive immigration bill.
But on Capitol Hill, CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss says, not so fast, Mr. President.
Assuming the Senate irons out remaining details and gets this passed, an immigration bill is still a very long way from becoming law. That's because the bill passed in the House is dramatically different. It declares all illegal immigrants to be felons, seeks to punish anyone who helps them in any way, and orders a huge fence built along the Mexican border. Finding common ground with a Senate bill to legalize most illegal immigrants will not be easy.
In the markets, the Dow down 23, the NASDAQ up a point and a half. This is CBS News.
Thanks for helping me move, Liz.
Sure.
Time for that California Chardonnay we love.
Ooh, Corbett Canyon?
Canyon.
But we're never going to find a corkscrew.
Oh, don't need one. Got the new Corbett Canyon Premium Wine Cask.
Clever.
Keeps air out, flavor in. Just turn the tap for a glass of crisp, refreshing Chardonnay.
Mmm, where'd you find it?
Premium Wine Section near Woodbridge.
Bet a woman invented it.
Why's that?
Clever, practical, don't need a tool to open it.
Good taste is worth repeating. The new Premium Wine Cask, only from Corbett Canyon. Canyon. Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
Sam's Club knows that behind every small business, there is a dream.
I dreamed of being on the lake. Now I have a canoe rental business.
My dream was being able to take care of children. Now I have my own preschool.
Every year, small businesses account for more than 40% of private sales in America. And every year during National Small Business Week, Sam's Club honors small business owners with an appreciation breakfast. Join us Wednesday, April 12th from 7 to 10 a.m. Let us show you how Sam's Club can help with your dream. Sam's Club, in business for small business.
With hurricane season just months away, President Bush today nominated the acting director of FEMA as its permanent head. R. David Paulison took over at FEMA in September. He replaced Michael Brown, who quit in the face of unrelenting criticism over the agency's sluggish response to Hurricane Katrina. A name CBS News correspondent John Harchie says you'll never hear again as the name of a hurricane.
Katrina, the worst of last year's record 27 hurricanes, is one of five especially bad 2005 storms whose names are being retired. the full retiree list?
Dennis, Katrina, Rita, Stan, and Wilma.
National Weather Service spokesman Chris Vaccaro says there have been retirements before, just not so many from 1 year.
67 names have been retired, the first being Carolyn Hazel in 1954.
There is an established list of storm names, which, barring retirement, are repeated every 6 years. This year, we'll start with Alberto.
I'm Lou Miliano, CBS News.
Celebrate a new season of baseball with Grand Slam Instant Savings this Friday and Saturday at CompUSA. Get instant savings with no rebate hassles on select HD TVs, cameras, wireless networking hardware, laptops, and more. Like a Sony Vaio laptop with Intel Centrino technology for under $900, a $200 instant savings. Knock it out of the park with Grand Slam Instant Savings this Friday and Saturday only at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. Quantities limited. See store for details.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks.
Okay, Kenny, try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
What is wrong? And the evidence is clear. I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter anymore. And is not worth fighting. This is our democracy. We'll fight to keep it free. You won't go telling me.
No, you won't.
Our vote don't matter anymore. Our vote is well worth fighting for.
Well worth fighting for, indeed. And we are fighting for it. Right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Excuse me. I am your friendly... humble guest blogger, no wait, guest host, citizen blogger, sitting in for Peter B., Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, Peter B.'s Friday afternoon guest, 5 o'clock in the 5 o'clock hour. I won't be here tomorrow, so we're getting a lot of this election stuff from this week in here today. And we had a caller in the last hour with Tom Tomorrow ask, what the hell can we do about all of this? I believe that was Lynn in Humboldt. And the best thing you can do, frankly, is educate yourself. I wish I could refer you. There's a lot of places you can go out there if you know where to look. Bradblog.com, of course, being the premier place to look. That said, votersunite.org, blackboxvoting.org. One of the things that we run every day, courtesy of John Gideon of votersunite.org, is run the daily voting news. He actually goes through the trouble of pulling out all the notable election news, voting news, election reform, fraud, everything else, and post it once a day with all the links to all the stories around all the mainstream media around the country. A lot of people think it's not being reported. It is, but it's being reported in a very localized way, and only if you happen to be in the town that just lost 16,000 votes and no one can explain why. Might you have heard about this? We're trying to connect the dots. One of those big dots that's now being connected is something that happened recently in Emory County, Utah. Excuse me. With our next guest, actually, I haven't even checked with Matt to see if we got Bruce Funk on the line. Hopefully, we will shortly. And coming up the next hour, then, we will be having Ed Asner, the legendary Ed Asner, on the line with us. Matt, when you get a chance, shoot me a message, whether Bruce is with us or not. Otherwise, I will begin to fill folks in on what happened in Emory County, Utah, recently when this man had the temerity to allow people to actually come in and inspect the Diebold touchscreen voting systems that they have just deployed all over the state of Utah for the first time use this year. And the amazing thing that happened to him, we're going to hear about that in a second, but I want to point out that this comes on the heels of what happened down in Florida at the end of December, where they were able to hack an optical scan Diebold machine. This actually has a paper ballot. You run it through. They had a mock election. With one question, yes or no, can Diebold machines be hacked via their memory cards? And there was 8 people who voted. 6 said no, 2 said yes. They ran the ballots through the optical scanner, and the results came out. 7 yes, 1 no. It completely flipped the results without leaving a trace behind. In the wake of that, seems like it ought to be a good idea to check these machines a little closer. One of those people who did, in this case the touchscreen voting machines, the AccuVote TSX, is Bruce Funk, the Emery County County Clerk, and he joins us today to tell his remarkable story. We got a lot to fit in this half hour, so I'll shut up. Welcome, Bruce. Glad to have you here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you for the invite.
Glad to have you here. I know you got a lot more free time now than you thought you might have had.
I do.
So you can tell us, first, give me an idea what happened. You invited security professional Harry Hursty of Security Innovations to examine these machines. I think the folks at blackboxvoting.org may have helped to arrange to get him out there to test these machines. What happened? Why did you invite him in the first place?
Well, the thing that had drawn my attention to it was when I was having to go back through just checking for some other problems, because at this point I knew I had 6 machines out of 40 that had to be rejected. And so I was looking for another item when I happened to notice the backup storage on one of the machines said maybe 7 megabytes. And my conscious and unconscious said, this is different than what you've been seeing. And so I went to the next machine, and it was up in probably the 27, 28, 29 megabytes.
So let me just clarify. You had a number of machines. These are supposedly brand new machines,
right,
that you're going through and doing your testing on, right?
Right.
And they all have different amounts of what? Information on the hard drive or in memory?
In memory somewhere. They call it backup storage memory. And I find now I've got 8 machines that have 8 megabytes or less. One of them as low as 4 megabytes, and it lights up as red on the screen even.
And these are all supposed to be identical, right?
These are identical.
So this led you to, did you go back to Diebold at the time, or did you say, well, let's bring in someone else to take a look?
Well, the dealings I'd had with Diebold, number one, the sales rep for the state, or the western state, said, come election day, some of you are going to hate my guts. You know, I'm looking at all the other county clerks from my state, and none of them are saying anything or thinking anything. I'm like, so I thought, what's going on here? So when we'd done the acceptance and testing of these 40 machines on January 31st, I asked their computer tech, who was the one for the state, and I said, what did she mean by that? He said, well, some of you are going to have problems on election day, and we're just going to have to work through them. So I'm not getting direct answers. I'm getting vague answers, plus these people have lied to me in another situation. So I knew, and I've been following election stuff since way last year, following Ion Sancho in Leon County, Florida. I've been watching what's happening with all the machines. And so I knew that I needed an outside independent source to look at them. And so I talked to Ion Sancho and said, how did you feel about the people that looked at yours?
And Ion was the elected election supervisor down there in Leon County where they did that hack I just mentioned.
Right.
So you touched base with him, and he ended up getting you hooked up with Harry Hursty of Security Innovations. They came in, and what did you guys find? I know that all of the findings have not yet been released, but what you know of so far, what did you find when they looked at these touchscreen machines?
Well, when Harry first arrived, you know, I had seen the California and the reasons for recertifying them there, and that was based on the software, and I kept having these questions. Why weren't they allowed to look at the hardware, the actual machine itself? And so when Harry arrived, that's all I gave him was the voting machine. And he took nothing more than one of the cards, which a poll worker would have, and started tapping on it and finding things quite interesting, that you could access the thing. And one of the things that he pointed out to me, and I also had our county IT person confirm that, yeah, this is what he's saying is really true, was that you could put a macro on that, and it could dial and go out and do something, bring something back and deposit on there and change something, and it never shows up in the log anywhere. And
so these machines could actually dial out, go to a location, get some information, some software or something, and then change the information that is on the voting machines, and no one would ever notice.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, or you could just even put a macro there, which would be date and time sensitive, that just resided there, and it doesn't show up in the log anywhere.
And real quick, we got to go to break here shortly,
okay.
And then we're going to find out what happened to you for having the temerity to test your own voting machines. But do we ever find out what the explanation was for the memory problems and all these new identical machines that had completely different memory configurations on them?
Yes. In fact, when we finally got the Diebold people down here, they met in a secret meeting with commissioners and the state people. I had finally then an opportunity to ask them why the low memory, and they told me that it was because of different fonts. Well, that's the type and size and height and so forth. I said, and these are all new machines. Why do these have this low memory? He said, well, they are brand new out of our California warehouse, and so they may have other languages on them. And I'm saying to myself, why would new machines already be preloaded with other languages and wouldn't still the memory be all the same? But that was their explanation.
It turns out I've had some experience with the people of Diebold, and they're liars. We're talking with Bruce Funk, Emery County, Utah. And by the way, I'll be happy to have him on. Hey, David Bear. Is it Bear? There's two of them. There's David Bear and David Bird. They're all named David Animal something over there. You guys want to come on, we'll give Peter B. another day off, and I'd love to talk to you about this. Or you can call us at 888-579-2540. We will be back, and wait till you hear what the state of Utah has now done to Bruce Funk. By the way, Dredd, a regular Brad Blog commenter, sends in a message, Bruce, to say that he wants to thank you for your risk-taking and for your courage on behalf of this country. We'll talk more about that when we come back. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Laser Devices Incorporated in Monterey reminds you, in the fight against breast cancer, early detection is the key to a greater chance of survival and more treatment options. Schedule a checkup or mammogram for you or your loved one. It's relatively painless, takes only a short time, and can save a life. This reminder is sponsored by Laser Devices Incorporated in Monterey, reminding you to make a mammogram an annual event. Fighting breast cancer is a job for every one of us.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Suzuki Aereo SX, an impressive subcompact station wagon that's well-engineered and attractively priced. With a fuel-injected 2.3-liter four-cylinder engine and a five-speed manual transmission, this little car is quick off the line and has plenty of passing power. It handles well, has a smooth suspension, and is very well equipped for the price. Power windows, mirrors and locks, plus air conditioning and cruise control, all standard. With a transferable 100,000-mile, 7-year warranty, this is a great low-price car that competes with Honda, Kia, and Hyundai. By the numbers, the 2006 Suzuki Aereo SX gets 25 mpg in the city, 31 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $15,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
All right, KRXA checks your traffic and your llamas with Amy. Got that cleared up yet, Amy?
Yeah, the llamas are gone. They've been cleared. Sorry about that. But in Salinas, a new accident, Russell Road at Harrison. We have a solo vehicle blocking lanes there. Highway patrol's on the way. Also in King City, a city street crash, Albert Street at Main Street. And SoCal, Robertson at Esta. A large oak tree brought down some power lines. PG&E's on scene, but southbound SoCal San Jose Road heavily backed up in the area, so expect delays. This report brought to you by Allivert. Allergies? We'll discover new Allivert Citrus Burst. The instant it touches your tongue, it bursts into action, and you know relief is on the way. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Sorry about that, Bruce. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your friendly investigative citizen blogger, Brad Friedman, here with, yes, Bruce Funk of the funky town of Emery County, Utah. He had the temerity to let independent security experts come in and take a look at his new Diebold touchscreen voting machines. Found all kinds of problems, more to come. In fact, some of those problems concern this so-called paper trail. Newsflash, paper trails on electronic voting machines. And you folks in Monterey, by the way, you don't use Diebold, but you use Sequoia with these crappy toilet paper roll paper trails. They don't work. And they especially don't work on Diebold AccuVote machines. We've got a photo essay of that over at Bradblog. Search for Funk. That'll get you there, probably. Funk, Diebold, Emery County. You'll find it. You'll see how these paper, printers jam up, and they're terrible. So, Bruce Funk allows these guys to come in. He's the elected county clerk. Now, when were you elected, Bruce?
In 1983, I took office.
You've been there since 1983?
Yes. So, okay. I've been 23 years.
And this is a four-year term, right?
Four-year term. Uh-huh.
Okay. And because time is short, Ed Asner coming up next. I got to jump to jump ahead a bit here. Unfortunately, hopefully
okay.
We'll get you back. But you're elected. This is the first time anything like this has come up with these voting machines in your county.
Yes, this is. We just received them for the first time this year.
What were you using prior to the electronic touch?
I was using the ES&S optically scanned ballot, paper ballot.
Why'd you get rid of them?
They made me.
Who's they?
The state forced it on the commissioners, and they bought it because it was free, the idea.
Free?
And if I stayed with ES&S, I would have had to purchase the handicap. Originally, I was promised under HAVA that I would receive HAVA money to get whatever equipment I needed, but the new lieutenant governor changed all that.
For the disabled accessible. So
yes.
You had ES&S optical scans. ES&S could have provided you what you needed to make them disabled accessible to comply with the Help America Vote Act, which kicks in this year, right?
Right.
And they said no.
Right.
You have to go with touchscreen machines made by Diebold.
Right. I mean, their election experience is zero, you know?
Yeah, something stinks here in Utah. And now, okay, so what happens is you expose this and you say what? I don't want to use these machines because I don't trust Diebold? I don't trust these machines?
Yes, I've expressed all along that I was uncomfortable with them, and now even more so after I know what I know about them.
And so when you went into the, I guess, the county commissioners recently, and you said you didn't want to use these machines after what you found. Is that correct?
Right.
And what was their response?
Their response was that it was their decision, and they were going to stay with the Diebold, and they wanted to know what my position was going to be, which I reiterated again that I wasn't comfortable with them. And
you're the elected county clerk there in charge of this sort of thing for 23, did you say 23 years?
Yes.
23 years. You don't like the machines. They say they don't care. You're going to have to use those anyway. You're uncomfortable with that. And then what?
Well, then they set up a special meeting. I believe it was on the 27th where the state election director came down, a spokesman for the lieutenant governor, legal counsel for the lieutenant governor. Diebold was here with their computer person, their sales rep for the area, and their legal counsel. The commission was there with their legal counsel. I said, where's my legal counsel? Under Utah law, I should be provided legal counsel, but they basically put me out in the foyer. Then they had discussions with all those groups together, and out of that came out that I was basically responsible for $40,000 worth of damages in order for Diebold to come back in and recertify them.
Because they're saying that because you let people look at these machines,
yeah,
now they're ruined and they have to bring in new people and it's going to cost $40,000.
Yeah, and I said, I can show you the two machines.
It was only two machines that you used?
Yes.
For $40,000 to check them all. Great.
And the machine only cost $3,000, a new one.
And now I've only got a minute and a half here left. The upshot was you're fighting them on this, and you said to them, did you tell them that you're going to quit? You're going to resign?
I had no option at the time. I felt beat down, and I finally said, just let me out of here. And so they kind of took that, and I kind of verbally said I did, and then the next morning I knew that's not me. Even 20 minutes later, it wasn't me. Now, the other thing Diebold did admit is that there are three different motherboards here in the state, an A, B, and a C designation. Now, you figure that one out, too.
You know what? I will, and I know there was different motherboards, but I want to get to this because we've got just less than a minute. So you said you're through. You knew that wasn't you. You came back the next day, and you said, what? I'm not quitting. I'm not resigning. I'm here.
Yes, and so they've locked onto their position, and I've had to go secure legal counsel and work through that part of it now.
You showed up for work a couple of days ago, and your door was locked. Is that
no? I actually had an appointment with an attorney. The next day, I had a funeral, and the next day, I called my office and I said, "Can I come over and put my feet up on my desk?" And they said, "I don't think you can. They've changed the locks."
And you're an elected official,
right?
23 years.
Right.
They've changed the locks.
Yep.
Because you're responsible for the voting machine, the integrity of the election.
Right.
And
and I wanted to check the integrity when Diebold had anything to come back and do with them and document exactly what they did, and they told me that's not an option you have. That
Bruce,
will definitely not happen.
I've got only a couple of seconds, and I got to get out. I'm sorry that we don't
have
enough time here. Hopefully we can do this again soon. I'll make Peter B. take you on and talk more about this. You, sir, are an American hero. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you for what you do and everyone.
We're all in this mess together. We'll follow more up on this, of course, at Brad Blog and elsewhere. Thank God for folks like Bruce Funk of Emery County, Utah. Keep fighting, Bruce. We're going to be back with, yes, the great Ed Asner.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors' knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Man, After that last segment, Bruce Funk, we were all furious in here, but that song made everyone smile, that's for sure. I don't know if it made Ed Asner smile. He may be sick of it by now. I don't know. We're going to find out in a second. If you want to join us here, our last half hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, sitting in for Peter while he's on vacation, I'm Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen blogger here on KRXA 540 AM in Monterey. And KGOE, 1480 AM in Eureka. Trying to shake off that last hour. Man, that's our democracy, and it's falling apart, guys. Sorry to fill you in on that. All right, let's see if we'll... oh, he'll cheer us up, all right. Ed Asner, I don't even have my paperwork. Who is this Asner guy? Never heard of him. Legendary star of Mary Tyler Moore Show, Lou Grant, Roots, what else? Now, the brilliant animated cartoon, The Boondocks, where Ed plays a recurring role. We'll talk to him about that and much more. He's also now officially a colleague of mine, as we both worked together a couple weeks ago to record the audio version of Greg Palast's new book, the investigative journalist's new book, called Armed Madhouse. Couldn't be more delighted to have him here. One of my personal heroes. He doesn't know that, but now he does. Ed Asner, welcome to the show, my friend.
I'm blushing.
Well, as well you should be. Now, I thanks for being here. Really great to have you on. Are you sick of hearing that Mary Tyler Moore theme yet?
No, it's a sweet tune.
It certainly is. And, boy, I'll tell you, Ed, I spent many nights in college back in the old days, and I was an acting student at NYU. They used to play two Mary Tyler Moores in a row, I think, followed by two Bob Newharts. This was in the pre-Nick at Night days, like 1 a.m. in the morning. And one day, for the first time, I saw the final episode of Mary Tyler Moore, and I jotted off a note to you. I was so moved by it. To thank you for your incredible work on that show, and I'm sure you don't remember, but you were kind enough to write me back.
Well, you have a way with words, and that's always winning, and I couldn't ignore what you had to say.
Well, you're very kind, because you, as an acting student at the time, frankly, you were a hero. That's why we watched it. Well, you and maybe Ted Knight. But you just blew us away every single night, and all of the acting students were paying attention to what you were doing, Ed. Hope you're still blushing.
Well, I am. Unfortunately, I must say, being in New York and all that, I have never found New York that hospitable to me.
Is that right?
It's just a strange thing that happens when I get there. There's a... I'm one of those TV actors that they probably considered as good for TV, but you can't touch our town.
Well, I think you're right, and that's why I got the hell out of New York. Of course, I'm not on TV, but I got a great face for radio.
Yeah.
Now, listen, let's talk about that. So you're out here in liberal Hollywood, where you can only have a liberal point of view or else you won't work. They won't have anything to do with you.
That certainly was the case with John Wayne.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And another fellow, Mel Gibson.
Yeah, Mel Gibson, yeah. I'm not sure where he is, but...
what happened to him?
He's coming out with this new one, and I don't know. It looks like it's a Mayan, Mayan film. I can't tell what it is.
Now, have you taken heat? Now, you know, supposedly it's only liberals who get to work out here, and you've been very outspoken with your liberal, progressive, democratic points of view. Have you taken heat for that, or do they welcome you to the secret Hollywood liberal club?
Well, I'm like old blowhard emeritus. I think most of the time now, of course, I'm much more cautious than I was in the days when I became controversial. So I know how to slip it in and get away with it now better than I used to.
So.
It's a waiting game, of course, but it's like, well, he's been there, done that. it's too much trouble to try to blast him because he keeps on working even though he shoots his mouth off.
They can't keep you down. But would you agree that it's kind of a myth that, sure, it's a liberal town, but this notion that Hollywood wants to do nothing but take down the president and they can't wait, you know, isn't that kind of nonsense? Don't they hold a lot of artists, I was going to say accountable, but don't they take retribution on folks who really don't toe the line, in a sense?
You mean the liberal line?
No. Who don't toe the in this case, the administration
line. Yeah, of course. I mean, they jumped on David Clinton when he made some brave statements about the administration. There were calls for his being drummed off whatever show he was on at the time. No, the parameters are very, very narrow. And, a great case in point was when the one real political stance that Meryl Streep took was against Alar, which they were coating apples with in those days. And she spoke out against Alar, and my God, they jumped on her like she was a leper. And Meryl didn't come forward too much after that.
Yeah, and it certainly puts a lie to it, and I think that it's getting worse. Now, you've been around for a long time in this town, and, you know, can you speak to it? Is it any worse? Has it always been like this? I was watching Good Night and Good Luck recently, and it was quite a telling film. Have you seen that film, by the way, Ed?
You know, that's the one of the two I've missed.
Oh, brother, go see that one, because it blew me away how similar it is to what we're going through now. And, you know, especially with the news, mainstream media, I deal with these mainstream broadcast networks and everything else, and they know what's going on here, but they're afraid to touch it. And so I'm wondering, do you see a difference in the atmosphere now over these past 4 or 5 years, or has it really always been like this?
Well, when I first got into trouble, let's say, I came to the realization that you only need one, maybe two blacklists a century, and artists jump back into line very, very quickly to avoid that blacklist. And it stands to reason, because I mean, what nobody or very few people realize is that the producers all want to sell to the largest possible audience they have, and when they have an actor who says something that may alienate a percentage of that audience, he immediately becomes worrisome. And until the public sweeps him up with adoration for his brave remarks, he's going to be problematical to people hiring him. I made a statement a long time ago that when you become problematical, it's not just, let us say, the right wing who attempts to keep you off the air, but even the good liberal who's producing or directing a love song of his is going to question whether you're going to help sell his film. So the liberals may well keep you at arm's length as well as the conservatives.
I think you make a good point. And, you know, it's clear that there's political opportunists out there who, when they see something they like in Hollywood, they like to say that, like Mel Gibson, that, oh, it's the film that Hollywood didn't want you to see. Of course, you know, they wanted you to see it, and I think they made millions of dollars. And it just puts a lie to these guys. You've been around long enough. You've taken the heat. You've been in this town long enough. I've decided I'm going to pay attention to you instead of Fox News, Ed. And I promised your wife I wouldn't get you into any trouble. So I want to ask you, and I want to take a couple of calls here shortly, but you were a former president of the Screen Actors Guild for years, like Ronald Reagan. Was he a friend of yours?
Never met the man.
Really?
Never met the man. I was, in the days when you couldn't sneak onto private beaches, we couldn't afford to rent the house at Trancas that we used to rent at. So I insisted one day that my wife and the three kids and I sneak onto Trancas Beach. And lo and behold, who should walk by us but Governor Reagan and Nancy. And I was so befuddled and, of course, worried about my wife, who was worried about us getting arrested, that I said, "Good afternoon, Governor." And I was so befuddled, I turned to Nancy and I said, "Good afternoon, Governoress."
Did they recognize you?
I don't know if they did or not.
Really?
But he gave me that great Reagan smile, and that was it.
And you kept walking.
Well, they were walking, and I just nodded.
That's great. Do we have time? Let's take a very quick call from Hal in Monterey for Ed Asner. Hey, Hal.
Hey, Brad, and hi, Mr. Asner. This is Hal Ginsberg. I'm actually the GM of the station, and I wanted to thank you for honoring my radio station by being on it. I also wanted to thank you.
Welcome, Hal.
Oh, you meant Ed.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Shut up.
Okay, sorry, Ed.
And also, I'm going to call you Mr. Asner because I remember watching you in my formative years, and I wanted to also thank you for the art you brought into my house when I was a child, and I could enjoy your performances. And, you know, I really remember you. I don't know if it was your greatest role, but I loved you in Rich Man, Poor Man. I thought that was just tremendous, and I still remember that.
I'm very proud of that.
Thank you, sir. And, you know, you kind of bring back memories of my dad because I know he was a big fan of yours. I wanted to ask you a question because my father's been dead now for about 15 years, and I know he would look with great sadness at what has been happening to our country in the past 5 years and really since, I guess, Reagan was president. And I'm wondering if you also, with the perspective of years, if you're able to feel optimistic about the future, or if you feel that, you know, things have really gone wrong and you have a fear that it's going to be tough, if not very, very difficult, to set them right again.
Well, I think that this administration and the lies and the horror that it has unleashed has brought us to a real threshold in this country. And if the people don't find some way to mass and clean house and insist that the job of governing this nation has to be done a lot better, it has to be improved a lot more. And of course, there are a lot of Democrats I throw into that hopper, a lot of them. Through their intimidation by going along with this administration in its Patriot Act, in its march to war, there's a lot to be thrown up and rearranged before we can go on. If we merely change parties with this election, coming elections, and go on with business as usual, it's not going to go away. We have to pay strict attention, and we have to start making demands upon the people who lead this country. And it's not going to be easy to solve. I don't have a roseate opinion as to the future, because I don't think that the people are sufficiently aware of how much restructuring and reorganization has to be done in terms of our governance.
Hang on there, Ed. I got to take a quick break. We'll be back with a few more minutes with Ed Asner. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Let me take you down.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
All right, our final check of the KRXA traffic with Amy, who I know wants to say hey to Ed. Hey, Amy.
Hi, Ed. How are you? Mr. Adner, I should call you.
Yes, you should.
Apparently, you can't hear me. Let me just do the traffic. In Aptos Trout Gulch Road at Valencia, we have mudslides and a tree down in the southbound lane. This is a new development within the last 10 minutes, so traffic not getting through right now on Trout Gulch Road. Also, southbound 17, slow Camden Avenue toward Highway 9 in Los Gatos, but smooth sailing on Highway 17 as you make your way through Scotts Valley. Highway 1 checks in clear, but we had an earlier problem, Robertson at Esta in SoCal. That tree's been removed, but southbound SoCal San Jose Road still may be heavy as you make your way through the area. Save up to 30% on Springs Must Have at REI. Go to REI.com. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
I am the stone that the builder refused. I am the visual, the inspiration that made ladies sing the blues. I'm the spark that makes your idea bright. The same spark that lights the dark so that you can know you're not from your fight. I am the ballad in your box, the bullet in the gun, the inner glow that lets you know to call your brother son. The story that just begun, the promise of what's to come. And I will remain a soldier till the war is won. Won.
Chop, chop, chop. That is the Boondocks theme, the new animated show that Ed Asner is has a recurring role on. It's an amazing show, and we only have a few minutes left, but I want to recommend everyone tune in to this damn thing Sunday nights at 11. I can't believe it's on television. It's that good. It has that much of an edge. And Ed Asner, you play one of the meanest bastards in the world.
It's so much fun.
It's since Roots, you've been a natural when it comes to these bastard roles, I think.
Yes, yes, that's true.
All right, let's try and fit in a quick call here. We've got just a few minutes. Jake in Arcata.
Hey, how's it going? Speaking of those roles, Mr. Asner, I have to tell you, you were great in JFK as Guy Bannister, of course.
Thank you.
I would just like to offer my thanks to you, sir, for the moral support that you've provided to the 9/11 Truth Movement. And there's a lot of great resources for the listeners out there, including documentaries like Fahrenheit 9/11, Loose Change, and, of course, 9/11 in Plain Sight. Mr. Asner, I was wondering, what do you think are the most important things that the listeners need to know about what really happened on 9/11?
Thank you for the call, Jake.
Thank you for that. I think the most important thing to, for listeners to inform themselves of all of that fine material that you just cited in terms of informing themselves. And I think that we cannot accept the conclusions that have been handed down to us from so far, because I know how weary people are and how skittish people are about conspiracy ideas, but I think that we have not had a proper and effective hearing and reading of what happened on 9/11. I think the thing that amazes me, even if it's all proven out to be exactly as government has said, the secrecy involved, the inability to examine, as we do on television with CSI and those programs, with forensic work being done, how closely guarded and kept and spirited away was all the evidence of the tragedies that took place on 9/11, so that nobody can really reach and stretch for the truth, because it's forbidden, it's denied, it's disappeared. And I think that arouses my suspicions enormously, and I don't like it. I think that the commission was a clearinghouse, and I think too much has been offered by technicians all over the world, that so much of what was said to have happened could not have happened the way they said it happened. And so I'm very disturbed about 9/11, and I would hope that as time goes by, more and more people will participate in informing themselves of the videos and the books that are coming out, and find some way to create a groundswell of public opinion that government, if it's to operate, must pay attention to be able to go on.
What a world we're in when merely asking the questions brings this kind of reaction from so many people.
You don't want to be in a... I mean, one simple little fact, for God's sake. And nobody ever really brings it up. 9/11 took place in sometime in October, approximately a 350-page tract called the Patriot Act was dumped into the hands of Congress, and they were told to pass it. And the obvious idea was if they didn't pass it, they would be branded, of course, as unpatriotic to this threat to the nation. 350 pages, and the vast majority of congressmen did not have time or were not given, weren't privy to reading it.
No, they weren't.
350 pages in a little over a month. No arm of government could have prepared such a document so quickly, and one can only suspect that it was lying on the desk waiting to be slapped down and presented to us as a fait accompli.
It certainly seems like it was, and I want to thank you for not being afraid, not being cowed, being willing to speak up and ask these questions. I do notice that we hear conspiracy theory charges less the more and more Republicans who are arrested on charges of conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord only knows where this whole thing is going. I want to thank you for jumping in here. Mr. Asner, you are a legend, my friend, and thank you for being generous enough to give us some of your time today. Ed Asner's got, can be seen on many weekends on Adult Swim, on The Boondock Show, on Cartoon Network. I can't recommend it enough. Watch for Greg Palast's new audiobook, Armed Madhouse, coming out. Anything else you want to plug there, Ed?
That's enough. I'll be coming in a Hallmark movie during the Christmas season, and I'll be doing a recurring role on the new Aaron Sorkin pilot.
Nice. All right, well, then I will have an excuse to bring you back and ruin your day again and take some more calls for you. Thanks for coming by, Ed Asner. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brad.
All right. All right. Well, that wraps up, 3 hours of the Peter B. Collins Show, broadcast out of Los Angeles for you good folks up there in Monterey, Eureka. here at the Right After This Studios. I want to make sure I give Bruce a plug here. Thank you, Bruce. I really appreciate you making this all incredibly easy. And especially to Matt up there and Hal up there at KRXA. Peter B., thanks for letting me stop by. Next week, actually tomorrow, a best of Peter B. And next week, he starts up in Phoenix, KPHX 1480 AM in Phoenix. You people are lucky. Now you get to think for yourself. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Do you care about issues affecting the working men and women of our community? Healthcare, immigration, the warmerization of our economy, social justice issues in general.
If you care, there's a show for you. It's called Labor Matters, hosted by Jose Mendez and myself, Ren Bradley. Please join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon.
Don't give up the fight.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Miliano. For a moment there, they were talking about reaching a pivotal point on immigration reform on Capitol Hill. And then this from Senate GOP leader Bill Frist.
Here we are now, 10 hours later, and we have made absolutely no progress.
The frictions between the Senate and the House, and CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss takes a look at one of the more curious differences.
The oddest part of this compromise is what would happen to illegal immigrants who've been in the U.S. more than 2 years, but less than five. This bill would require those who want to stay legally to first leave the country, then come back under a temporary worker program. It's mostly symbolic. They wouldn't have to go back to their home countries, just cross into Mexico somewhere, and then cross right back with a temporary work visa.
It was in September 3 years ago. President Bush couldn't have made it more clear.
Leaks of classified information are a bad thing.
Fast forward to today, CBS News correspondent Gloria Borger says court documents reveal a top aide to the vice president, Scooter Libby, says leaks had been authorized from the very top of the administration.
Libby told a grand jury that the vice president thought it was very important to leak parts of a classified intelligence document. According to his testimony, Libby advised the vice president that he could not speak with a reporter because the information was classified. After the vice president later advised him that the president had authorized it, Libby spoke with Judith Miller of the New York Times.
During which time, it's alleged Libby outed a CIA operative, the wife of a critic of administration Iraq policy, former Ambassador Joe Wilson. The prosecution today determined to see the jury return a decision that results in the death of 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui hit the jury in the heart. CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart outside federal court in Virginia.
A sometimes emotional Rudy Giuliani used a model of the World Trade Towers to describe how he arrived at the scene to witness a man jumping alone from the 100th floor and then watched as a couple holding hands leaped. I remember it every day, the former New York mayor said. The Twin Towers collapsed. Nuclear-like clouds spread through the city, Giuliani remembered. Afterwards, he said he attended over 100 funerals. Some family members were left with only DNA stains, he testified, as fires reaching 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit consumed the ruins.
She stole the thunder today from NBC execs, former 60 Minutes correspondent, now on The View, Meredith Vieira. I'm very honored.